The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 21. We'll begin reading with verse 5. Some people were talking about the temple, how it was decorated with beautiful stones and ornaments dedicated to God. Jesus said, "As for these things you're admiring, the time is coming when not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." They asked him, "Teacher, when will these things happen? What sign will show that these things are about to happen?" Jesus said, "Watch out that you aren't deceived. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I'm the one,' and 'It's time.' Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellion, don't be alarmed. These things must happen first, but the end won't happen immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other. There will be great earthquakes and wide-scale food shortages and epidemics. There will also be terrifying sights and great signs in the sky. But before all this occurs, they will take you into custody and harass you because of your faith. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will provide you with an opportunity to testify. Make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. I'll give you words and wisdoms that, note, your opponents will not be able to counter or contradict. You will be betrayed by your parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends. They will execute some of you. Everyone will hate you because of my name. Still, not a hair on your heads will be lost. By holding fast, you will gain your lives." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If there were a slideshow of the ministry of Jesus, there would be scenes of him calming the stormy seas, gathering the children around him, restoring health and wholeness to those who had been blind or diseased, providing inclusion to the outcasts, shining with all the glory of the Mount of Transfiguration. Is that the full scope of the message of Jesus? Does faith mean only striding in the presence of God in wide open spaces? Or is our faith also for times when the stage is set by precariousness of danger and fear? We are facing changing times, things all around us, things we never thought were vulnerable are shaking to the point of collapse. It gives rise to uncertainty, anxiety, and questioning. Can we survive the fall? Is faith of any value when we see life as we have known it, teetering on the brink of falling down around us? We find Jesus and his disciples in this gospel reading making their way ever toward Jerusalem and the cross that awaited Jesus there. The tone of Jesus' ministry is beginning to shift. Gone were the days of picnics with 5,000 of your closest friends. Attacks from his opposition were escalating from words to plans of attack, which in turn would lead to his crucifixion. Things were beginning to change. The disciples must have felt the change in mood. They needed some sense of security and identity. As the disciples were walking and talking with Jesus, someone commented on the beauty of the temple. That was good thinking. When faced with stressful and threatening days, experts tell us that there's great benefit in turning your eyes toward beauty. Focusing on the beauty and the light that is around you offers you hope in facing whatever lurks in the shadows of encroaching change. You know, seek solace and peace by hugging your children, watching a sunset, or better yet, the northern lights. Listen to music that keeps your soul alive. Sitting in the beauty of a holy place, a sanctuary. It seems to make a great response to coping with the reality of a harsh world. But the temple was more than just a pretty place which provided the disciples a moment of distraction from the uncertainty of change. The temple stood in Jerusalem as a monument to all that was right and good. It represented the presence and blessing of God for the Hebrew people. It was where sacrifices were made, where God was encountered. It was the temple, the practices and the worship that occurred there that gave the Hebrews their identity as God's people. For the disciples, the temple was more than beauty. It was an anchor that reminded them of who they were. Another strong response to facing uncertainty to change is remembering who we are. How would Jesus respond to the well-meaning disciples who had suddenly become clinically trained chaplains, ready and willing to offer solace in the face of challenging reality? Surely the Good Shepherd would have one of his peaceful, hopeful messages of affirmation. Well, you would think. But Jesus knew that change can be and would be harsh. Jesus looked beyond the mirage of beauty, beyond security and identity. What if it all comes falling down? He asked. What if that is only the beginning? Then what? What if things get worse before they get better? What if after it all comes crashing down, your relationships begin to crumble? Isn't that what happens when things fall apart? We tend to turn on one another. He said, what if your family and friends unfriend you? What if you actually get hurt? Jesus gives the disciples clear warning that this is sure to happen. All that they had loved and found identity in would be shaken to the foundations, ruined. You can imagine the fear and the disbelief that set in as the disciples heard this dire prediction. It kind of made the memory of the stormy sea seem like a gentle breeze. A flurry of questions must have begun to fly. In the face of apocalyptic warnings, their denial probably mounted. What are you talking about, Jesus? Look at it. It's the temple. It has stood through everything. Which it hadn't, by the way. But when facing change, it seemed like the temple had always been there. And surely it must remain always just as it is. Or what would happen to us? We all have our temples of one kind or another. Those seemingly enduring edifices in our lives whose very image represents all that is beautiful, hopeful, and secure. They are the institutions that we have and we continue to admire, holy places where we have found strength and peace so many times before, symbols, all of them, of pride and identity. Are they truly vulnerable? Could they really fall? The disciples want to know, when will this happen? What shall we do to prevent it? How can we prepare ourselves? Then, unwilling to deal with the hows and the winds, Jesus stands this whole doomsday scenario on its head. In the face of catastrophe, it is time for some good news. Jesus tells them, not a hair on your head will perish. I see Jesus responding with brokenheartedness to the anxieties of the disciples. Jesus knows the innate question that arises when anything, whatever it is, falls down around us is, what's going to happen to me and those I love? Jesus knows until we get past that question, we are blinded by fear, and any move we might be able to make will likely be in the wrong direction, wandering helplessly toward more danger and damage. So Jesus seems to say, now, it's going to be all right. It might all fall down around you, but not a hair on your head will perish. Or in other words, you won't even have a bad hair day. You're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. It might sound like empty platitudes when we hear it. It feels even more empty when we try to repeat it to ourselves. Maybe it would sound more comforting if we could actually have seen the face of the Master as he spoke those words and hear him speaking them to us even now. As we stand precariously on the brink of all that is falling down around us, whatever it is, maybe we need to open our ears and our hearts to hear the assurance and hope when Jesus offers it to us. It's really no reason for a bad hair day. With calm, comfort, and promise, Jesus offers us assurance to face and to face the fear of change. Just to stand firm. You will make it. You will find there is still life to be lived. God is still God, with or without your temples. In what shall we stand firm? How shall we endure when all that we knew and in which we have found our identity and security is shaking or falling? It is a matter of steadfast focus and commitment. The writer of Proverbs calls us to stand firm with these words. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all the sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. And when we do, it will be amazing the distances and the places we find ourselves going as a road does stretch out smoothly before us, long after we think the world has come to a dead end. Finding our way down the road that stretches out before us becomes easier when we're walking with others, when we travel the road with one another, going in the same direction, in unity toward the same goals, with the good of other travelers in mind, we will be better prepared and can go farther than we can go alone. It is not only a matter of our own survival. Mary Ludi offered this wisdom for the day when it, whatever it is, all comes falling down. We meet again the steadiness, capital S, steadiness, that undergirds each change and chance. And in that meeting, we believe again that no matter what befalls us, God will not fail to hold us. God will not fail to will and work the good of all creation. God will not fail to be God. God will not fail. The good news of the gospel is that our God is steadfast, that the depths of God's love is steadfast. Through all things and at all times, there is hope. There is assurance. Come what may, we will be all right. Not a hair on our heads will perish. Even if it all comes falling down around us, it's no reason for a bad hair day. Amen.